Welcome to Leadership for Tomorrow, starting now, the podcast designed to inspire and empower leaders to act today for a better tomorrow.
Whether you are just starting out or aiming to level up, we are here to help you grow, connect, and make an impact.
Join us for engaging stories, practical tips, and endless inspiration to fuel your leadership journey.
Discover how you can make a difference, starting right now.
Hugo Santos. I'm assistant lecturer at the University of Wyoming, Casper, and here's my co-host.
Hello, I'm Rochelle Green. I'm the director of our organizational leadership program here.
And today we have Ray Pacheco. So Ray is our former mayor of Casper, Wyoming. He's also an assistant lecturer in the social work program at the University of Wyoming and a mental health therapist. He will also discuss servant leadership with a focus on community collaboration and its impact on driving meaningful change.
Drawing from his experience in public service, nonprofit work, grassroots organizing, teaching, and mental health, Ray will explore how servant leadership principles create a strong foundation for resilient and inclusive communities. Welcome, Ray.
Thank you for coming.
How's it going today?
Thank you guys for having me. It's an honor to be here, and this is the maiden voyage of the podcast. Yeah, so I am honored to be the first person on this,
for joining.
I'm sure. So
we appreciate it. So servant leadership, right? It's a word that you hear. It's a buzzword. I hear it all the time on the news when I'm in nonprofit meetings. So we'd love to just hear more about that.
Yeah, so servant leadership is something that I've probably focused in on before it was the buzzword and before we knew it as servant leadership. And you're right, it is a buzzword, and we always have buzzwords in our lexicon. And so with that being said, servant leadership to me has always been giving of oneself without accepting or expecting anything in return. And part of that is when we talk about creating a community, that's really kind of been my focus for the last 20 years, is that we see how we give of ourselves and the understanding that it's our job is much bigger than us, and seeing people from a lens of humanity, seeing people from the lens of understanding and compassion and disagreeing, but also seeing respect for that individual. But it's also lifting individuals to be better, to better themselves, especially vulnerable populations, has been a very big part of what I've tried to do as a servant leader. Whether it's being mayor, whether it's been in nonprofit work, grassroots working, that's kind of been my vision. And So if you want it in a nice nutshell, it's about focusing in on others before yourself. And that's leadership.
That's absolutely wonderful. Yes. Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit more, like, how did you get into servant leadership? How was, like, was that something that you always wanted to do or something that was driven to you, like, naturally? Can you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a couple different, right, aspects to this. One, inherently, right, when I said servant leadership hasn't really become the buzzword until recently, probably, right, within the last 5 to 10 years. With that being said, what it means to getting involved in that has always been a part of my life, all the way from understanding what I was taught ethically from my parents and my faith, but also understanding what social justice means. And so really, if I had to pinpoint probably the beginning of that was when I was a youth minister at St. Anthony's Church here in Casper. And my boss, Father Michael Carr, who's still a good friend and a great mentor of mine, taught me about social justice. And he, that was one of his first questions he asked me. He said, do you know what social justice is? And I went, I know a little bit. He said, well, social justice really has a rich history of lifting up individuals. So I can probably pinpoint it that that was probably the moment that I knew that my life would take on a servant leadership, and it's really kind of based around the understanding of what social justice is.
So you mentioned being the mayor of Casper,
yeah.
And if you led by that type of leadership, so servant leadership. Do you find that that is something that can be trained? Like, can someone be trained, or do you feel like it's really something that requires more of an intrinsic
motivator? That's a great question.
Motivator.
It's that old notion, right, that teachers aren't, you know, you can have a teacher go into the field, but if they're not a natural teacher, it's really difficult. And I think to some extent, there's certain individuals that are more empathic, that are more attuned to other people's feelings and emotions. And I think there's some in our society, in our world, that tend to be less so, especially those that are in leadership positions around. And I'm using that as a broad term, right? And we can draw conclusions wherever you want. But with that being said, I think there are inherent traits of someone that has servant leadership in the capacity of being selfless, to be like, this isn't about me, this is about what's the betterment of a community, even when it doesn't align with everything that I agree with.
How do you feel, or how has been your experience balancing it out, right? Finding the good balance in between your needs and maybe the needs of those who are serving.
I think to talk about what someone needs personally, right? And so everybody has the desire to succeed. Everybody has the desire to move up. And I'm going to put this in quotes, right? Up that ladder professionally. Everybody has those desires. We find that our self-worth is defined by our profession or by how we move forward or our salaries, how big our house is. So there's a lot of those things, right, that we define us. So for me, if I look at it, has it been an honor to do the stuff that I've done? Absolutely. Was my intention behind it to do, be like, oh, you know, I can't wait. I'm going to move my way up the political ladder, or I'm going to do this. And no, I don't think inherently that's not the case. And so for me, I've served 12 years on the city council, been mayor 2 or 3 times. And to me, that's, I probably served 1 too many terms. And so to me, it's really important that I don't look at that and say, oh, I'm going to stay on city council and, you know, and just continue to utilize that. That's not my goal. I think I've already accomplished the goals that I think I've set out on that level. And to me, it's more about others and looking at that. And I've stood on mountaintops to die on certain issues that I've taken a lot of heat, not only within my faith community, but other people. And to me, that's more important than where I'm going to go politically higher, if you will.
Well, I think serving several terms as mayor is a testament to you and probably to that servant leadership.
Thank you.
Going to one of your next talking points, like when we talk about prioritizing yourself over others, was it similar with prioritizing community needs over your own personal ambitions?
Yeah, because I think that's a great point. I like how you said that about prioritizing, you know, community needs over my own ambitions, right? And I think that when we look at the very core of what it means to serve, right, we've lost that identity. I think civilly, I think we've lost it politically, I think we've lost it culturally. And it's not to say there aren't people that still strive for those things. But to balance personal ambition versus what's the betterment of a community, it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to face those things because we all have ego. We all like to be recognized, right? So I think it's hard to balance it. It is. And it's not to say that I'm, you know, virtue signaling, right? And saying like, oh, look at me. I've become this enlightened, you know, individual when it comes to serving others. But I think more so is that balancing it is critical, especially in our culture today, because I think we tend to see people wanting to put their self-ambitions before what it means to serve others.
And I do want to compliment to what we were saying before, like when you were talking about some of those traits that we look for leadership. And I feel like also when you talk about community-wise, I feel like the sense of empathy is really important, right? Talking about it, like learning how to identify, how to put yourself in someone else's shoes for a day or so. I feel that also like complements with that, like the learning aspect of it, or just trying to be more aware of it, I think is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we've lost that. And I'm not saying the whole entire world is like, you know, has lost their empathetic notions or feelings, but we've lost some level when we talk about servant leadership that we've lost, and I'm very passionate about this, seeing individuals for who they are, even with those that we disagree with, you know, vehemently, and seeing them for their dignity and worth, right? And so for me, empathy is a critical component of what it means to serve, whether you're doing politically, whether you're doing it at administrative level, that's the case. But you're right, empathy is a critical component of what it means to be a servant leader.
You talk about self-serving. I think my only connection to that was being in the service for so long. And 20 years later, I still have a hard time understanding when you're in a workplace with somebody that isn't doing it for the greater good of the mission or for the students or whatever the case may be. So 20 years later, that's ingrained in you, and I don't know how to deal, I guess would be the only way to say it. It's very
But hard. I like that comparison to the military, because I think it is that, right? The characterization within a military that we serve as one, we're brothers and sisters, and we have one mission, right? And I think a lot of people, we can take that away from the military, that it's this level of brotherhood and sisterhood that I think we've kind of lost too.
Yeah, it's like, why would someone want to hurt somebody else? Or why would someone want to be better than someone else? It's just not understanding that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how do you foster growth and development in that area? So if you had a group of students that you have in social work or as a mayor or as a parent, I mean, there's a lot of different aspects that, how would you foster that?
I think living by example is one important aspect of it, whether we're looking at empowering individuals. When we take on, especially in my position as a social work teacher here at the university, it's really incredibly important that we empower not only, like when I'm teaching, but younger leaders, younger people. I mean, I'm getting up, you know, to that point. I'm 48, and so, you know, I'm starting to get that threshold, right, where you kind of start losing an understanding of what's happening with the youth and what's losing that my kids are getting older. And so what's important? But continuing to pass down that knowledge, continuing to be a storyteller, you know, taking stories from the past and talking about what we've learned, the things that we can do, and then really kind of saying, how do we impart our wisdom to younger people? How do we impart our feelings to say, this is what we can do to be the best version of ourselves? And I try to do that with upcoming leaders. I try to do that with my class that I teach, to try to say, hey, we can do this.
When you serve through your faith, or your faith community or your city community, how do you manage? Because I'm assuming you cannot please everybody all at once, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
No. You would assume correct, Hugo.
So, like, how is your strategy, or how has been your experience trying to manage those different conflicts? Like, I cannot please everybody, so how can I make the greater good right here?
Yeah.
Right. So, how can you talk a little bit more about like your experience, like your challenges with that, your success?
It's funny because I talked to a leader within the state, and I will leave it at that. And this individual was like, well, I'm going to have to kind of, you know, navigate both sides and got to do this. And I'm like, I couldn't do that. And so to that point, I cannot say what I don't believe. So probably why I'll never go any further, right? Because I cannot justify switching what I believe in, my morals and my values, just to get elected, just to have this, right, idea in the community. And I'll always say what I believe. With that being said, that's gotten me unpopular with certain groups, with certain people, because I stood for what I believed in. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that you have to compromise on certain things, because I think we've lost the art of compromise and dialogue. So there are moments where we can compromise, when there's a beneficial a benefit to everybody. So it doesn't mean you go against your values. In that case, it means you work together in a partnership. But I stand on my ground, or stand my ground for what I believe in, when I really truly have the conviction in my heart, even when it's not popular or against certain groups that will be like, oh, nope, you know, we can't do this, we can't believe in this, we can't do this. And so it's a difficult thing to do, and it's hard when you're a people pleaser and you get people mad at you.
Yes. I think we've all been there.
Yes.
And again, that's okay, right? That's okay to not please everybody. That's okay if people get a little upset. But yeah, as long as you keep people involved in the conversation, that is a reason why I'm doing this stuff.
Well, and I think we've lost that. I think we've completely gone off the rails with that we can disagree, but we can still see each other's humanity.
Yes.
And we can respect each other and see that dignity. What we've lost is the art of seeing one another as a human, and that we see that. And so I may not agree with you politically or ideologically or even religiously, but I can also respect who you are as a person.
So do you think maybe part of that, something I've been thinking about, especially through the elections, and not to go down that rabbit hole, but like you kind of wonder when you think about losing someone's self and not really knowing someone's true self, do you attribute some of that to media, like through, you know, all the social media and TikTok, and like there's not really a truth anymore? I kind of wonder,
it's kind of like, I don't know if this is the right term. I use it because I love Seinfeld, because George said this. Everything gets homogenized. Mm-hmm. Everything just kind of gets thrown in. And so then we lose some level of who we are, our self-identity. So a couple things complain to that. I think tribalistic, hyper-tribalistic beliefs, where we've gone to these two, extremes, and there's no level for us to come back here. So we've become hyper-tribalistic when it comes to politics and religion. And so it's either or. You cannot choose. You cannot see the middle ground. Second, I think social media has played an incredible impact on how people view things and how rhetoric has been ramped up to the point where we've seen violence, where we've seen discrimination, where we've seen sexism, where we've seen all those ideologies that are contrary to what we stand for, right? So I think it's all played a part in that. If you even go on Facebook, just look at some of the things that are said, and I'm always appalled, and I try to fight that to some extent, but it's true. And I think that all plays a part in it.
Reinforcement that social media keeps bringing you into that, deeper and deeper in that rabbit hole, right? So that's really complicated. And I think it becomes cultural, generational, right? The more you learn about it and how we have been using those technologies, and just, that's very good.
Thank you.
So we talked about the issue. We talked about maybe some of the reasons of it. Is that hope?
Yeah.
Hope for humanity, hope for, or just in general, do you think?
I don't know. Let's explore different layers. Let's start with hope for us, right now.
I would add to that too, like hope for self-identity and just be,
Can you break
from that habit? I'm not a Pollyanna by any stretch of the imagination, but I do tend to be a little bit ideological, or being an ideologist, right? I look at things from a standpoint that there is always hope. There's never a point where we go off the ledge and we can't come back. If you just look at history, through human history, we've seen the ebbs and flows of the worst of humanity, we've seen the best of humanity. And I believe that the pendulum will swing, it always swings. Mm-hmm. And I'm not coming across as some type of political scientist that's done this history. So this is all just, you know, from me. But I think the pendulum will swing. And I think in human history, we see that. And I think it's, like I said, you know, we've seen the worst in times in our history. And generally, the good does prevail. And I always hold hope. And I always talk about hope with my children. And I'll text them and say, don't lose hope. You know, we will continue to do the things that are right and just.
Absolutely. History will repeat itself.
Unfortunately.
Good and bad.
Yep. Well, I've been characterized as a pragmatic, meaning that I tend to be, my approach to most things is pragmatic. And that means looking at all sides and then making a decision and not emotionally making decisions based upon some type of ideology per se, but looking at a pragmatic understanding. And so I think that's also part of servant leadership, is pragmatism. And I think that servant leaders see things from a lens of, you know, what we can't go too far this way, we can't go too far this way. What is the best route forward? And some people knee-jerk, you know, far, and then some people say, no, stay this course.
What do you think, so when you think about decision-making and servant leadership, did you ever face a really difficult decision that may have gone against your servant leadership
philosophy? Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I think early on, I mean, I'll take city council, for instance. I think early on, I was fairly young, and I've always been involved in some type of politics in my life and helping out with campaigns and my whole life since I was little. So I think early on when I first got onto city council, I certainly didn't understand the nuances of some of the decisions that I would make and kind of came across more intense than it should have been. And I made some decisions, I think, that were contrary to what my conviction was. And I learned a great lesson. Those first year and a half of city council was who am I and what do I stand for? It was hard, but it was an incredibly powerful experience that I had that I learned throughout that. Those first couple of years where I just was like, I made some stupid decisions that I still cringe at now, yeah. Even thinking about it.
You're learning from 20
yeah.
years
yeah.
later.
Right. Yeah.
Well, from now on, like, do you have any good, how have you been serving your community right now? Do you have like a vision for you for the next 5 years? I know you have been talking about some works you have been doing. You're also working like through the university. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about your plans, right? How do you...
Sure.
Do you still want to?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely feel like I'm just getting started. And I don't know if that means staying in the political arena. I don't know what that means for me in that sense. I certainly do like policy and continuing to make changes through policy change and advocating. But in the same sense, I think really focusing in, I'm starting to narrow down where I really feel within a servant leadership style, is how do we, as a community, and not focus in on the national, don't focus in on state level, okay? I mean, sometimes they're intertwined. Mm-hmm. You can't separate them, right? All three of them. But I heard somebody is talking about, I can't even remember who it was, talks about if you don't lose hope about where we're going, start at your community level. That's where the most impact is. And it's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The state level has its merits. The federal level has its merits, but they're very gummed up right now, you know, and it's not a lot's going on. But I feel like in our community here, we have some great opportunities to make some changes, whether that's in policy, whether that's in community involvement, and that's really where my focus is going. And it's not to say that I wouldn't run for something again, but more importantly, it's really about utilizing those through what I'm doing here at the university. And working in the community, which I love.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
wonderful.
Yes.
And we have such a great community.
I do. It's Casper's a great community.
Yeah. They just, anytime we've reached out, they just are ready to
jump
in and help.
Yeah, they are.
Excellent. So, so one thing I was thinking about, like if, you know, because we're going to have listeners on, if someone was stepping into a leadership role and they were like, wow, like servant leadership just, that's where it's at. I want to do that. Like, would you have any starting points for somebody, or like if you could give them your words of wisdom?
Mm-hmm. Listen, I think we have lost the art of listening. And here I am talking a lot, but I think we've lost the art of listening. And I tell my social work students that. And we talk about communication and we talk about making human connections, right? I think we've lost that. And that would probably be my first advice is, and that's one of the mistakes I made, I think, early on that I was kind of talking about a second ago when I first got on city council, to stop and listen. You don't have to go at breakneck speed to get things accomplished and do all those things. Listen. Secondly, talk to a diverse set of people as you get involved. People you disagree with. Talking to people that aren't yes people. Hearing those things that are uncomfortable. And I think those parts can really help, and talking and communicating. Just going and having conversations with people, you know, in coffee shops and doing those things. it's getting to know that. So if you want to go into those things, to me, it's about listening and it's about going out and talking. When we look at developing a community, and it takes a lot of work, mm-hmm. and it takes a lot of mistakes. And I'm in it for the long haul, right? I came back to Casper. I went to college in Montana. I came back because I wanted to. It's not because I had to. I wanted to come back. And so I've invested the last 25 years, probably, since I moved back from college, roughly, into working on the community to make a better place. And I love it here. Yeah. And so that's continuing to do that.
I think one thing I would say in closure, Ray, is just over the last 2 years as I stepped into this Director of Leadership Program and seeing the social work aspect side mm-hmm. of how much we should overlap. Mm-hmm. And it's a conversation I've been having with our faculty, and we've been starting to have shared visions on things, because I feel like your mission and a leader's mission should align with the mm-hmm. stars in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so. It should. And it's messy. It's not easy to be a leader. It's sometimes ugly. I think I've said it's like making sausage, right? When you do policy or you do work in communities, right? It's not very pretty when you're putting it together.
Yeah.
But it, when it comes out, it sure tastes good.
And for those that are experiencing frustration with their leadership roles right now, any advice for them?
Don't stop believing. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop knowing that there are good people. Surround yourself with people of like minds to continue to feed you, right, and to refill your cup. If your cup is not filled and you don't do those things to take care of yourself, this is what I tell my students too. You cannot help other people. So surround yourself with goodness, do the things that are right, and fight for what you believe in.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. And probably that, advice we could use, right?
Yes.
Take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
It's so hard to it's so easy to just neglect that, right?
It is. Especially in a leadership role.
Oh, yes.
And I've seen a lot of leaders that struggle. Yeah, and it's... because you're taking care of everybody else, mm-hmm. right, in a leadership role. So what ends up happening, and this is actually one of the tough parts about servant leadership, and this is the more, I don't want to say negative side of it, but this is one of the costs of servant leadership, is you lose focus of taking care of yourself. And so somewhere in there, you've got to find the level, and this is for social workers, this is for a lot of people, is finding that sweet spot of, I'm going to give my heart and soul, but I'm also going to come back. Like someone that's an introvert, right? They need to go home, isolate themselves for a minute, recharge their batteries.
That's okay to celebrate small victories, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Not every single change has to be gigantic, like a state mm-hmm. level, federal level, in order to be meaningful.
Yep.
So start with your community. I love that advice.
Start with the community. Yeah. Start with one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those little tiny things, right? Don't think, I've got to change every federal policy mm-hmm. to... But if you start here,
yes,
and you start in your home, if you start in your neighborhood, and you start working towards those things, mm-hmm. you see the greatest change. And that's why I love being involved in leadership in the community.
I'm so happy you could be here today.
It is my pleasure. So hopefully you explode with listeners and view and within that. So
yes, I think it will.
So thank you everybody for listening today. Thank you, Ray, for coming by too. Really appreciate it. I felt very inspired today for our conversation.
Yes, me too. I want to end by saying go serve your community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do something great for someone else.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray.